This is RSB Me Update, episode 550, recorded Friday, January 22nd, 2016. We're back. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update, the inaugural episode of 2016. We are back. As you guys have probably noticed, we took a bit of a break over the last 4 weeks, starting the week before Christmas, leading up to now. This was a break that was needed. I have been doing this show flat out since 2013, and, you know, when you enjoy doing something a lot, you don't normally let something like fatigue get in the way of you taking a break every so often, getting to a point where you won't miss a show for practically anything, and that's the point where we were at. And then at the end of the year, just scheduling everything in terms of preparing episodes and doing the marathon session of RuneFest, which I think I was on mic for probably 3.5 hours for on RuneFest weekend. And then after that, I started thinking, okay, we need to take a bit of a break from this. When can we do that? And the initial idea was to take all of January off. But of course, we cannot do that because Invention is coming out on January 25th. But nonetheless, that's the past. And looking back into December, we decided that this is going to be the time we'll take a break. And you guys are going to be hearing this on January 23rd, barring any major technical snafus that might happen during the recording of this show. It's happened once before. I'm not anticipating any issues, but can never be too cautious. All right, so before we get into the meat of the matter for this week's episode, I want to talk a bit about where we were in 2015 and where we are now in 2016 and looking forward. Specifically, RuneScape celebrating its 15th anniversary. We know this. Game festivities have been active for, I think, 2 weeks now. And more importantly, to go along with this, RSBNB Update will be celebrating its 11th year in June. So we want to kind of think, okay, so we've been around this long. How can we make this better? We saw the start of RuneScape 2. We saw, you know, the removal of free trade in the wilderness. We saw it come back. We saw evolution of combat fundamentally changed the way combat works in the game, and that upset many people. And then finally we saw RS3 and all the grand scale updates that have been delivered ever since. So the question is, where do we go now that we've done all that? Well, we're going to go in a number of different ways here, but we're going to talk about the grand outline for the end of 2016 at the end of this show and lead you into what you can expect in the coming weeks and months. Anyways, so, you know, we've had a variety of co-hosts along the way, and over time we feel the need to, or they feel the need that, okay, maybe it's time for a bit of a break. And that is one thing that Reed has professed to us and to me back in December, November, and probably through the last quarter of 2015. So, rightly so, everyone is entitled to a break every now and again. So with that being said, we are introducing a new co-host this year, and what's going to be different this time around is that we're not just having one co-host for the year, we're actually going to be having four co-hosts this year. We're going to change quarterly, so that is from January through March we'll have one, then April through June, and so on and so forth. Anyways, but while we're doing that, we're also going to be offering balanced commentary, offering the second opinion about the game's updates that you guys have come to expect and enjoy about hearing this podcast. And of course, while we're doing this, we want to offer an entertaining media source. We feel that we can be entertaining while providing balanced commentary about the week's updates, as well as providing a second opinion that is different than what the mass community in RuneScape might feel. I know for myself, I feel that the players think in largely the same way, and sometimes you feel like you're the minority. We're going to do our best to bring all those views to the surface this year. So, anyways, with that being said, I'd like to introduce our first co-host of 2016, and that is a fellow who you guys know and have become familiar with over the span of 2015 and 2014, and that is Colton from RSP and the Informer. Welcome.
Sorry, I've been sitting here and waiting. Yeah, it's me. Hi, guys. I'm sorry, you're kind of stuck with me.
For 3 months only.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
But I should also clarify that having a limited co-host selection and rotating every so often doesn't mean you guys aren't going to be hearing from Colton in the other 75% of the year. And as we said previously, in last year, Reed will also be coming on the show for Quest Weeks when that comes around. So it's going to be a very fluid year of update.
Especially with all the big quests coming out throughout the year, I'm going to want to pop in maybe every so often.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, you are the Master Quest Point cape holder.
Yes, for now, for now.
For now.
Yeah, okay. Who knows? I don't know if they're going to pull a completionist cape on us and just give like month-long requirements that will take it away from me for a long time. That's what I fear with invention, but, you know, we'll see.
All right. Well, tell us a bit about yourself.
You know, I've been on the podcast before. Just a little bit of personal information for you guys who don't know. I'm 20. I'm born and raised here in the American heartland of the USA. Indiana, to be specific. So yes, I am a hick, I guess, farm boy, if you will.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's just my raisin. But you know, hey. Currently, I am enrolled at a university here locally, and I go to college with a major in food science. And if you've read my December Informer article, as I am also a writer for Informer, you will have seen that I am an aspiring winemaker, so that's a thing. Mm. When it comes to RuneScape, I joined way back in June 2006, so not classic days, but RuneScape 2, and I joined under the alias that many of you will probably recognize, 101Duck1 was my name. Quite a while. Yes, yes.
You know why I'm laughing.
Yeah, the typos. I know. Right?
Yep, the typos.
That's what I thought. It lends itself to several different typos that are unfortunate and were not very obvious to 10-year-old Colton. I was 10 at that point. But anyhow... I left the game for around a three-year period between around 2009 and 2012. And when I was in 2012, I just sort of got the itch again, came back, and saw that EOC was in beta. It really intrigued me and just started playing and have been playing ever since, nonstop, really. Found RSBNB that January in 2013, so I've been... listening, sending in questions, and eventually joining Informer and things like that for the last 3 years. Sometime last year, I changed my in-game name to Colton, which is obviously my actual first name. And, well, there's a space in between the syllables, but I digress.
Colton?
Yes, Colton. You just got to wait for it there. As you may have heard, I love quests. I'm a member of Clan Quest. I have the Master Quest cape, so that's kind of cool, I guess. And I really do love quests. That's why I'm a member, and you hopefully will hear that more throughout the year, or throughout this first quarter at least. Really wish I could play them more, but, you know, hey, that's just how the game is. I'm almost maxed, but that's not the goal, because I don't know, I like to just... be relaxed and enjoy the ride, you know. I enjoy skilling. Mining and woodcutting are probably my favorite combo. And, you know, RuneScape just holds sort of a special place in my heart. I've loved games ever since I was a little kid, but RuneScape has always been special, not only because it's a unique game and has a lot of qualities that are specific to this game, but it's become a part of who I am, and I can assume that many of you listening sort of share that same experience where you grow up with a game and it sort of incorporates itself into your lifestyle and how you think, and it becomes so much a part of you that it's hard to let go. And I love RuneScape because of that, and not only just because of the fun that it's given me, but because of the people it's put me in contact with and the friends that I've made and the community that the game is. I know that a lot of people may be disenfranchised with the state of the community as it were, and we're going to have more discussion about that in a minute. But, you know, just Clan Quest, RSBNB, the atmosphere that people have created, I just enjoy the community, and I'm glad to be a part of it. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
And I'm glad to have you here. And you really summed up the way I feel about RuneScape, the community, and the game itself in the reason why you play and why I think so many of us do enjoy playing RuneScape as it is. And that's just the charm of the game. It's never really gone away. And as I think for me, as long as they continue that, I will stick around. And I should also clarify that my break from this podcast was not necessarily because of any community issues per se. It was just a personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, you also described the RSBNB dream.
The RSBNB what?
The RSBNB dream. It's kind of like the American dream, right? You start off sending questions in, you become part of the community, and lo and behold, you're hosting a podcast in 2 years.
Exactly. You gotta start from the bottom, and you just gotta work your way to the top. You know, that's all it is.
And we are very conducive to community engagement and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's my favorite part about doing this is interacting with you guys, and you know, going in game. And I'd say the majority of time I log in, it's not out of question to see at least 5 people in our friends chat. So
yeah,
at any time of the day. So we are definitely gonna keep building on that. All right. Anything else you'd like to share before we dive in?
Not in particular. Just happy to be here.
All right. So the news of the week this week, the winter event returns to RuneScape. Hattie Skoll, and of course this year Fenrir added. Typical January winter event, completed in probably under 20 minutes, I'd say, if you time everything right. Sound about right?
Yeah, I'd say so, if you have enough people on your world and all that.
Yeah. Hattie's level 84, spawns roughly every 5 minutes, I believe. There's 3 random spawn points, all centered around Eastern Relica, just south of the Lodestone and south of the road. So that one's easy. Just take down the wolf, you can solo it, same as it's been every other year. Then you have Skoll, which is to the southwest of Relica. Skoll appears once 120 logs have been added to the bonfire. This is across all worlds and all players, and then you take Skoll down. It's a little bit harder. If you have problems, I'd recommend Protect from Magic and Food. That is the way to take that down. And then last year they added someone called Ear, and when you kill Hattie or Skoll, you're given one of Ear's pieces of equipment, either Ear's helmet or Ear's spear, and then you need to trade on a one-to-one basis with another player for the full set, take him off to Ear, and then you receive your reward from Ear, which is either bonus experience and experience in prayer or divination. Well, I should add that Skoll gives experience and bonus experience in agility or woodcutting. Well, of course, Hattie is combat-based.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a recap of everything we've had up until 2016. So this year we have Fenrir, a wolf that initially appeared every half hour.
Does it no longer?
It appears every 15 minutes now.
Interesting. That's why it seems like it spams the chat.
Yeah, when did you get that?
I killed Fenrir the very first day. I did all 4 of them the first day just because I knew that there would be a lot of people there, and it was just convenient. I killed Fenrir, I think yesterday, just for the heck of it, because I saw a guy soloing it, and I was passing by to put in a Triskelion key and thought, why not? I'll help him out. And so, but other than that, it seems like most people have finished these.
Yeah, and I mean, they're here until the 8th, and you have until the 16th to use your paws and boots to get the XP that you want. But anyways, Fenrir is a bit different in that you need to take down the wolf minions beforehand. So if you're wondering why you're not damaging Fenrir, that would be why. Mm-hmm. And also, watch out on the ground for area of effect attacks. I don't think they'll harm a high-level player, but if you're mid-level, it's something to watch out for.
It's constant, like 300 or 600 or something like that. It's not too bad, but after a while, it's like, oh, I should probably move away from these meteors that are
hitting. Yeah. I mean, you can see where they're coming in from on the ground, so so that's positive as well.
All
right. All
these fights are fairly straightforward. I mean, theoretically, they can all be soloed if you've got higher level gear, and even if your stats are just decent and you have enough food, you can probably just take them down. But yeah, World 2 is probably a good place to do it if you're trying to find other people still. So,
okay, yeah. And Fenrir appears in the chat, and the exact location of Fenrir is just to the east of the Golden Apple Tree, so basically where you put the Triskelion keys in, as you were saying.
Yeah, right next to the divination colony there.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if something I was wondering, you know, you get the notification in chat that Fenrir has appeared, but I don't know if there's enough time on a populated world to get to that location before it's dead.
Yeah, unless you have, like, your Slayer helm or a Slayer ring that's charged on hand and you can just teleport. Because the quickest way to teleport there is either with Fairy Ring or with the Slayer helm, the upgraded Slayer helm with the teleports in it, or with the Slaying Ring, whatever, that will teleport you straight to the Fremnik Slayer dungeon, which is basically just, I think, north.
Yeah,
where
a little
that
bit north.
Location. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So those are, I think if you're really on it and you're already geared, you can probably get it if no one else is attacking. But yeah, I tried the first time to go there once I saw the notification, but I was too late because quite a few people were there. So yeah.
And I mean, the only problems I can think of with Fenrir is that it's every 15 minutes, but appears randomly on the clock. You know, it's not every quarter of an hour like you'd expect if it was 15 minutes. I think I saw one appear at 04 or something on the clock. So
I think the clocks, I don't know, maybe the clock starts ticking after he's been killed, so it always just sort of gets...
Oh, okay.
This is complete speculation here.
That would make sense.
Mm-hmm. That could shift it a bit.
Yeah. And, I mean, the only other complaint that I have about this, aside from the timing, is that, okay, so you're running around, and you're running around for, you know, upwards of 15 minutes trying to find this thing. It's not exactly apparent where to go in that entire northern area there, so...
Yeah, not particularly.
So that's why we tell you it's east of the Golden Apple Tree. And, I mean, on the notes here, they say you must hunt high and low to the southeast of Relica near the Golden Tree. Okay, but that's still a very large area.
Yeah.
So... Anyways, Fenrir also grants Herblore and Summoning experience and bonus XP, so that's going to be very useful to people as well, as both those skills are rather expensive to train.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, of course, got the full wolf set now, too.
Yay, wolf set. Now you can keepsake that and make it your new outfit.
I personally won't be doing that, but that's just me.
Maybe some will. Who knows?
Who knows? Anyways, did you have something to say on this?
Yeah. Did you notice? I think they decreased the actual amount of XP that was, or at least bonus XP that was given out this year. Did that seem the case to you?
I don't remember. I don't really keep track of how much XP or bonus XP things give unless they're quests.
Because typically it's like a really significant chunk, but this year it was just maybe I was seeing things. But
how much did you get?
In agility, I think I got like 120,000, and I'm 99.
Okay,
90. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, and I think that it was like at one point when I was in the 70s, I got like 200,000. I'm pretty sure. But I know they've switched it between a balance of just an Windfall XP and bonus XP. So I'm not entirely sure if they altered that. I didn't really pay attention to it because I don't see the little circle anymore.
Right.
I didn't really look for the big XP drops or anything like that. So maybe that's the case. Maybe they're just trying to get a good balance. And if they did decrease it on overall, I honestly support that because I think that that was kind of a necessary thing, especially if they're going to keep adding wolves because they've done it just about every year.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the question is, where do we go after this? Because there's already, you know, four of them. So
yeah, agreed.
Kind of hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the Epic of Bukala.
Yes.
Which made some people's Master Quest Point capes disappear.
Yeah, it's not exactly the hardest requirement out there. Just go listen to old Mod Mark get up on the stage there in the Relican Mead Hall and listen to a rather interesting tale. What were your thoughts on it, Shane?
You know, I like you were saying, it was done in Old English, so it was really hard to follow, and I did not go look it up after the fact.
Yeah, it's actually really funny because I'm in an advanced British literature class right now, and of course it's obligatory that you go through Beowulf, and it's so funny how close this was to Beowulf with all the kennings and a ridiculous amount of alliteration. But nonetheless, I did look it up afterward just for you guys who may want to take a look at it. It's hard to understand, and I had to look it up to actually get the plot of the poem because it's kind of cryptic. But basically, what it's telling is the tale of a warrior named Bukala who wields the legendary Balmung, which is actually not the Balmung you have. It's an old greatsword, and basically Bukala leads the Fremniks against a threat of the Dagonoths on Waterbirth Island and kills them, and basically kills them all except for Dagonoth Supreme, who kills him, which is Akranoth Dagnothi or whatever, the weird name they give the Dagonoth Supreme. Basically, you can find out some supplementary information to actually clear some stuff up by talking to Karshai in his lair just north of the Mead Hall there. After you listen to it, he can help clear some things up as to what exactly was being said during that tale. But it's rather interesting, so I'd suggest giving it a listen. It's basically exactly 5 minutes. If you don't move or use your mouse at all, yep, during it, it will log you out literally the minute that the poem finishes. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, and that's what I said in the preview earlier in the week. If you are doing this, just move your mouse to save some troubles after the fact, or touch a key or something like that. But I quote, "This fantastic cutscene will immerse you in Old Norse tradition of sung poetry." So you think it was sung poetry?
It was sort of sung, I guess. I mean, it's not like Mod Mark was just wailing away, but he gave it the chanting and the...
I did not recognize that as Mod Mark.
Yeah? Gosh, to me it was like almost right off the bat. I was like, wait, is that Mod Mark? And then eventually I looked it up and yeah, come to see it is. Well, good old Mark Ogilvy or whatever his name is.
Well, of course Jagex has voice talent, you know, in studio, so... Of course.
He has a good voice that lends to the sort of old Nordic kind of grunting and rah kind of. So it was good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure if Jagex wanted to, they could put on any production that they so desired based on the various things they've done in the past. Of course, coming to mind, player-owned ports ahoy.
Uh-huh. Take me back. Take me back. Take me back to port.
All right. So this is in game until February 8th. So you got, 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
Three weeks. Or three. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. 3 weeks from launch. All right. So that was a nice little distraction. Moving on. Vic the Trader's back.
Hooray.
Do you have any... you do any trading with him?
Yeah, I did. I don't... I think it's not a horrible thing to have him in game. It maybe cheapens stuff a bit, but people think that he charges too high of rates, but you know, I think that's just fine because the fact that you can transfer bonus XP from skill to skill is already a little bit overpowered, but you know, as I said, I'm almost maxed, and although I don't want to speed it up too much, I'm not a construction fan, and I don't want to spend money on construction.
Yeah.
So I was shamelessly taking bonus XP from everything else and throwing it into construction. So that's what I did, but I don't really have any skill outfits that I'm in dire need of, so nothing really else for me to do with Vic.
Yeah, what I finished you? Off my... Finished off my Herbalar outfit, removed the bonus XP from everything except ranged and Slayer. Though I'm not sure if I should do that, since, I mean, ranged and Slayer is it's almost as classic as you get in RS for combat-wise, right?
Yeah, that's true. How far are you from 99 ranged?
93.
Okay, you got a decent ways to go.
Yeah. The idea was to do 99 Slayer and 99 ranged together. But we'll see. But I'm just not sure what else to put it in. I mean, I don't see any point in training crafting until that skill gets reworked. So the way I see it is Vic will come around again next time. And if it's time to train crafting, I'll just get the crafting outfit then. But I finished off my botanist outfit for Herblar, which is something I'm working on. And I would highly recommend everyone go for the skilling outfits because they do make an immense difference, especially at high level when you're working on things. I know it drastically cut down the amount of seeds I needed for farming. And in my view, that's okay because it's not, you know, outright bonus XP that you just went and purchased. So,
yeah.
I'm not sure. I'll either put the XP that I removed from everything, you know, into, say, range, Slayer, or, you know, construction maybe. I even took it out of runecrafting, believe it or not.
Hmm.
Just because, you know, runecrafting is so fast as it is now.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. All right. So there's Vic. He's in game until the 25th. And then the store appears on the 1st of, or disappears rather, on the 1st of February. Mm-hmm. That's enough time.
Get it while you can.
Indeed. And not much in the patch notes this week. Blood dyes have been added based on player suggestions to various levels of treasure trails. Take a guess at what the launch price of the blood dye is.
Max cash.
No, 800
That's
mil.
What it was going for on street. But
oh, wow.
Yeah, the first few were going for around 2 bill. Yeah. Unfortunately, that wasn't me. I've done like 10 elites, which isn't nearly, since the launch, which isn't nearly as much as a lot of people have done. But no such luck for me, unfortunately. No.
Yeah, I need to get back doing the weekly clue scrolls.
Yeah, from the chest and the
aquarium. Yeah, from the chest and the aquarium.
My favorite update of... Just kidding.
Really?
No, not at all.
Really?
I am... pulling your leg, Shane.
Okay, good. I didn't write this one down, but I saw it in passing a couple weeks ago. They scaled the rewards that you get from the little distraction and diversion after the end of the tutorial island quest every week, so that if you're higher level, there's a higher chance of you getting better things from that random treasure trail roll.
Good, because it wasn't OP enough. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I got 70-odd K on my first run.
No, I meant like the XP, because the XP is pretty ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. It is, but... and it would enable someone who is doing a farming Ironman to get that without, you know, needing to rely on other sources. Mm-hmm. per se, to get it untrimmed. I'm not saying I'm going to do such a thing, just that it's a very distinct possibility now.
You never said such a thing. But I think you would have trouble with that because, I mean, even if it is 40K or even if it's 100K, say, that would take 130 months. That's over 10 years of just doing that distraction and diversion religiously.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to find it other ways. I mean, of course, war bans is an option, but
no, no,
we're livid. No,
no, no. That's pushing it. That's pushing it.
I know. I know.
Players can now private message other players that have a space in their name by using the /pn command. So you can type /pn Cole space turn to send a PM to Colton.
Well, I'm glad I was missing so many PMs because people weren't able to do that. Man, I was wondering why I wasn't just being
flooded constantly. The main reason I put this in is because I didn't know this was a feature to begin with, that you could type /PM then a name.
Yeah, I think they implemented that like last week or something like that, and there must have just been an issue with people who have spaces in their names. And, yeah.
Wonder what happens with people who have two spaces in their name.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it just says...
Because that's a legacy name that they don't let you get anymore, a.k.a. Chief Space Space Snake.
Such a great name.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And they have also increased the spacing between the top of the friends list and the first player on that list. And this is, of course, also relating to the various... changes, not sure if they're for the positive or the better, that were made to the friends list a couple weeks ago. How do you feel about those?
I think it's nice. I mean, being able to search for your friends, I think, is a good thing.
Well, you can search. Where's that? I clicked the arrow.
I'm not entirely sure. Maybe it's somewhere in settings. This is bad. I know that it's possible, but I haven't done it. Change the way your friends list is sorted. You can do that. That's
interesting. I mean, my biggest issue with this is that they screwed up the alignments on the text and the hover text, which, I mean, come on. That is something that should be looked at in terms of the quality assurance testing before the update lands.
Huh. That is weird. Strange.
It just doesn't feel right. But
yeah, I understand. That makes sense.
I don't know. Anything else in the patch notes from you this week or any of the other weeks since we've been gone?
Not in particular.
Alrighty then. Well, let's move to RuneScape at 15. The 15th birthday celebrations for RuneScape began a couple weeks ago. And you can take part, of course, at the party area north of Falador if you have not already done that. We're not going to go through an exhaustive list of the birthday happenings, because I'm sure by this point everyone has taken part in this, but there's 15 statues there, each representing one of the years of RuneScape, and you can find them at various places around the world or popping the random balloons that appear every half hour. I have to say that these statues sum up RuneScape really well. Mm-hmm. For the past 15 years. I mean, we saw quests in there, Dominion Tower, summoning, and it wasn't all combat related too, which was nice.
No. Yeah. It was really cool just to see that. I mean, just looking at and unlocking each of the statues was sort of a trip down memory lane, as it were. It was nice.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been here since 2003. Mm-hmm. Seriously, since 2004. So I remember when each of these updates came out. And, you know, for the vast majority of them, at 15, yeah, so we'd be missing probably about 5 years or so worth. But we have updates for 10, update recordings of 10 of those updates that were released.
Wow.
So that might be worth something, me going back into the archives and compiling for people who want to see the statues in podcast form.
Yeah, a little mixtape. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Because, I mean, it's just, I don't know, and this goes back to what you were saying in your introduction about RuneScape, and it is just so deep in the culture and the history of the people that play it, that it has that big of an influence, and it really is just a trip down memory lane. So,
yeah,
I enjoyed that part of it.
Very nice.
Yeah. And, of course, the popping balloons also give you party hat fragments. And these party hat fragments, once you get 100 of them, you know what that gives you?
Yes.
It gives you the Gnome Child party hat.
Oh, my.
You know, it was
Can
only
we get
a
more meta?
It was only a matter of time, right?
Yeah, I guess. And I think it's funny. I think it's kind of a little bit, like, cringy funny. Like, oh,
yeah.
Jagex, really? Did we have to put this in game?
And the thing is, for someone who doesn't know it, we'll think it's a dunce cap.
I guess you could see it that way. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I wonder how that'll... But you can't... At least people won't... Well, they'll be able to see it on other people, even if they aren't on...
Well, yeah, of course, in RuneScape. But, you know, I just say this as linking out to other things, because you can buy a shirt now that has the Gnome Child and the Gnome Child hat on it.
Yeah, it may be going a little far. Who knows?
Anyways.
They can do what they want, I guess.
Yeah, you could also find the statues when you're popping balloons. And once you find a certain number of each statues, you are rewarded with a birthday dance emote, the classic skilling Thought Bubbles, a 15th birthday emote, which will have a new move added each month throughout the year, making it longer. So that's nice. And of these rewards, I really like the classic Thought Bubbles.
Really? Oh my gosh.
I do.
I wasn't around for the Thought Bubble, so I guess that's why it doesn't resonate as much with me.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because every time you would be doing something in RS, classic, you would have one of these things appear on your head. And the reason for this is because sometimes we wouldn't have the ability to play a complicated animation for fishing with a fishing spear, you know, keeping swinging at that tree for woodcutting, right? Like, you'd swing the tree once, and then that would be it. Maybe your hands would move. But you got to remember that in Classic, you failed woodcutting quite often. So, as a result, that's why the Thought Bubbles were there and useful, because it showed when you were doing something that might not have been able to be conveyed otherwise.
Yeah,
so, that's why I like it.
If you think hard enough, it will be done.
Oh, but yeah, there you go.
I really love the 15th birthday emote. I don't know why. Like, it has each year and just sort of a little move. And they could have so easily made that a paid emote. Like,
I wish it would continue on, you know, right out of the way.
Yeah.
Throughout all the years.
Be a long emote.
Off the bat. But, I mean, I guess I can see why they're releasing it incrementally over time. But
I think they did a good job. Some people think they may have gone a little bit too far with this, but I think that I think it's really cool that they just, because it's a major achievement for an MMO like this to be going as long as it does, as it has been, and to be still as vibrant as it is.
I mean,
it's nice to see.
When you compare it with something like World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft came out in 04 or 05, I believe, something like that. World of Warcraft, the massive, you know, multiplayer version of it. And, you know, over time, new expansions, level increases and whatnot. And the goal of World of Warcraft was to level up and get to end game so you can go on all the bossing and, you know, mission
things.
Encounters and everything. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's not what RuneScape is about. RuneScape is about the journey. And I think that is what this emote conveys really well. And it conveys also that RuneScape was from a different time when everything didn't have to be instant gratification. Everything didn't have to be about a huge glamorous boss fight, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is something we want to highlight throughout this year, as well as all the various facets of RuneScape. But get to that more at the end of the show. So,
yep.
We also have the drop 15 questions about RuneScape history. The only one I got wrong was about the Majorat, because the two spellings looked very similar, and I clicked the wrong one.
You just got to think Ma, like
yes.
the elder goddess, yes. and then Jarrat.
But the thing is, I saw an H in there.
Yeah.
So
it confused a lot of people. I'm pretty sure that's going to be one of the most failed questions just because they're so close and it's not one that many people remember.
Yeah, that was just a vision thing, so we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, RuneScape at 15. Lots of stuff we'll be doing throughout this year. Of course, coverage of the Gower Quest, whenever that's given to us, that's going to be an excellent episode to cover. And it is probably, I think, going to be my favorite update of the year. I know you and I were talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
I listed, looking forward, I might be disproved by this, but my top three updates of the year are likely going to be the Gower Quest, the finale to Sliskay's arc, and the finale to the Vampire arc.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, so we're going to, you know, be covering all of those in very interesting ways and the ways you guys have come to expect from our SPNB update. And one thing that I am going to try to do, it'll need to be orchestrated, of course, once we figure out when it's coming out, but a commentary from the podcast host on the 15th anniversary documentary.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just some of the things you can expect this year. But of course, once again, getting ahead of myself. All right. So in the off time, I conducted a little survey about the RuneScape community going into 2016. I did this in part because I had some ideas about what was going on, and I wanted to know if I was right, and, you know, some things surprised me in the survey, and some things went along with my assumptions here. But basically, the survey was a 7-question survey put out to a number of people. We got over 100 responses, so these are some blended results here. I should stress that this is not scientific in any way, because we could not control who was taking the survey, and if there was any manipulation going on. That is the one thing that I must say going forward before discussing some of these results.
Of course.
So I'm going to run down and give you guys a quick bullet point list of some of the findings from this survey. Colton, just stop me along the way if you want to comment on anything.
Okay.
All right. So, overall, the most popular skill of our respondents who took the survey was Slayer. 27% of respondents said Slayer. This was followed up by Dungeoneering at 9%, and Agility and Ranged shared the third spot, with everything else falling below that. So, not much of a surprise there, I don't think, that 27% of people who took this survey will find Slayer as their most favorite skill.
No, it seems to be that when you ask most of the community, or at least a large subsection of the community, what their favorite skill is, it's automatically Slayer. It's the cool thing to enjoy.
Yeah. But also with this, we found a strong majority, and that means 70% or more, found that they also make their money by way of Slayer. Mm. And there's only a small difference, surprisingly, 3%, between those who make money by boss hunting or skilling. 39% say they make money with boss hunting, while 42% say skilling. So while it may appear that boss hunting brings the money in larger volumes and maybe quicker, there's a good chunk of people out there who skill for making money with, you know, herb farming, wood cutting, mining, that sort of thing. So that was refreshing to hear for me.
Yeah, no, agreed. A lot of what you hear in terms of, well, how do you make money in this game? It's always kill this, kill that, kill this, kill that. But, you know, obviously, mining herbs and even doing divination and things like that are actually pretty profitable. And personally, it's my preferred method. And it's nice to hear that skilling still survives as a decent way of making money for most people, or a good amount of people.
And exchange flipping and bond purchasing make up less than 11% of people that have responded to the survey. But of course, we need to stress that some people don't like to admit that they play the market. And of course, some people also don't like to admit that they purchase bonds.
Yeah.
So take that with a grain of salt, of course. Now, we also asked where the people spend most of their time on RuneScape. A majority of the players spend their time in 15ist. And of course, that confirms what we see throughout the members' worlds, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Only 22% spend a majority of their time in the old members' areas, you know, such as Ardoian, Sears, and whatnot, those kind of places.
Trinome Village, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's on the list as well.
Used to be one of my favorite spots.
Yeah, yeah. And now here's something that is a little bit distressing to me as a community owner and a community overseer, is that players aren't social creatures. 46% of respondents do not attend events. Those that do attend events, for every player that will attend a Jagex-hosted event, roughly 4 players will attend a player-hosted event, meaning 35% to 8%. So Jagex-hosted events are not that popular.
Yeah, I don't know. The Jagex-hosted events, at least for me personally, are either, it seems to be when they are around my time, it's bossing. And I don't exactly want to boss. And when they're not bossing, they're always on, like, British-centered time, which
right.
is, like, early morning to early afternoon for me, which is when I have class. And so it's not exactly the best time for me. So personally, I'm not able to do those, whereas, like, clan events and things like that, I'm much more willing to do because typically it's on a much more flexible time schedule.
But, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think that has to do with part of it, given that most of our, at least most of the audience for RuneScape is on the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not even a requirement that people need to attend Jagex events. This data is here, and I by in no way mean that this is a problem for the community or a problem for Jagex. It's just that players have their own preferences. I think Jagex is doing a pretty good job of bringing out people to the events who want to come. So it's not a bad reflection on Jagex at all here.
Oh, no. No, not at all.
But now, of those that do not attend Jagex events, 38% of these people will attend events hosted by players, while 62% do not attend any events at all.
Hmm.
So this is something we've known probably since mid-2013, if not before, that hosting events is very hard in RuneScape. And, you know, this is something we would absolutely love to remedy in 2016. So if you are a member of this community, if you are a listener of RSBNB Update, if you are a member of RSBNB, member of Clan Quest, you name it, talk to us. If you want to have something for an event, let us know and we'll gladly put it on. Heck, even if you want to run your own event, we will help you run that event and make it successful. So if you're listening to the show and you want more events or you want to get involved with that, contact us and we'll tell you how. Either for RSBNB or Clan Quest, or doesn't even need to be for those. If you're just part of the community that listens to this podcast and you want to see more events, we'll tell you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and finally, we also asked what people find most important in-game, and we know RuneScape is a community-based game, and that could not have been confirmed more handily in our survey. In the order of the most important things to our respondents, being a part of a community, followed by questing and accumulating wealth, are the three most important things for people who took this survey. So once again, community very important.
That's nice to hear, you know.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And also, little nugget of information, being a completionist or obtaining the max cape resides squarely in the middle of the responses, in the middle of the pack, and least important was competing with friends or achieving the master quest point cape.
Gosh, not achieving that nice cape? I don't know what people are driven away from. It's not the long list of requirements, is it?
It might be, looking at it from that way, but you got to look at it differently.
Yeah, even, I mean, honestly, I'm glad that what's up at the top is up at the top, because honestly, being a completionist and getting XP and all that is nice, but it doesn't last. At some point, you max. At some point, you get 5.2 bill XP if you're some people. And then what? You know? But
exactly.
Being a part of a community and just sort of associating with your fellow RuneScape players, that always feeds itself, and it's refreshing.
Indeed. Indeed. And finally, the last question we asked is, how satisfied are you with the way the direction the game is going from Jagex? And 48% of respondents either agree or strongly agree that RuneScape is headed in the right direction. But, interestingly enough, 32% are on the fence and have no strong opinion one way or the other.
That's at least, that's better than I think I would have expected, honestly.
Yeah, me too.
A lot of people seem to have some issues with how things are going, whether it be MTX or you name it. But I think that it's nice to see that at least 70 or 80% rather are not upset with Jagex, even if they don't think that things are amazing, 32% of them. At least they feel like things can be worse, you know. RuneScape is not dying as it were, I feel, and I think this is representative of that.
Yeah, and I mean, this is something I've sensed for a long time too, is that it's the vocal minority that is complaining about things, and this reinforces it right here, because with 48%, you almost have a majority of people who are happy.
Agreed.
So, that was our survey that we conducted for 2 weeks this month. We'll probably conduct one later in the year as well, depending on how things go this year. But thank you for everybody who participated. If you did, I can't thank you all individually, because of course I promised this was going to be an anonymous survey. But those of you that do have, or that those of you that did submit your RuneScape names to this, we will be of course looking at those demographics and linking them with those responses. So you could probably expect a more detailed report based on, you know, stats and whatnot in the coming weeks. But this was just the introductory report.
Woo! Yay numbers.
I totally agree. I like numbers.
Agreed.
But like I said, nothing completely scientific. If I was making this a scientific survey, I would have had to survey over 2,500 people.
Yeah, that's a bit of a stretch.
Control the setting and whatnot.
Well, and then the way
the internet works is I can't say you can only complete this once, because you might have more than one RuneScape account, right?
True. Yeah. And you're contending with the fact that, I mean, obviously you're always going to have a large subsection of the RuneScape community who doesn't want to vote in anything and doesn't want to take the time to do anything, which is just numbers we're never going to get, so...
Exactly. Thing. Even, you know, officially sanctioned Jagex surveys have that problem.
And Rune Labs, you know.
Of course. Alrighty. Well, moving on then, we have beta information for the new game client. You know, before Jagex said this post here, I said, you know, we're going to hear about a beta for the new game client in February or March, if not then April. Well, here we are. It's here. So, starting at the end of January, there will be a series of weekend beta tests using the live game, where longstanding players and Gold Premier Club members are going to be able to take part. If you have had membership since January 31st, 2012, you'll be invited. You have Gold Premier Club, you'll be invited. Also, if you have the Game Breaker title, you will be invited. You know, this is the best way to do this kind of beta test.
Agreed.
Limited, focused, and, you know, not always up. Because, you know, with anything that you leave up for an extended period of time, people begin to use it and become complacent and not report bugs for it. So by doing this, you know, they can cast it out quickly, pull it back, cast out a new version and iterate it in a better way than they could by just leaving it up. So it's a very good thing that they're doing it this way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be in this, seeing as I've had continuous membership. Did you purchase Premiere? Are you good?
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, literally 2 days before this announcement came out, I bought my premiere package, and I had a little bit of buyer's remorse, to be honest. It's so much more expensive than last year, and although I know they have the right to do that, it's just hard for me to let go of the discount that it once was and now pay more for it. But I did it, and I am happy that I did it, because this, to me, is enough payment for the extra money that it cost me in terms of added on to membership, because I am super excited to get started with the NXT stuff, because, I mean, I made a nice computer last year, and it would be nice if I could actually use some of the better features, being the graphics card especially, to help make the game I love look better. So that'll be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah, totally. And, I mean, to me, there really wasn't much reason to buy the Premier Club this year, because I'm still on the $5 pricing tier, which I like mentioning to everyone. And the only reason I would have bought it would have been for the retro teleport animations. But even then, I mean, I don't
know. Yeah. Is it worth the $20 extra or $30 or whatever?
Yeah, and I mean, even more so for me, because you put $5 a month, that's $60 a year.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, like true.
39 or 40 given the Canadian pricing these days. But
each.
Yeah, so we'll be looking forward to that. System requirements are dual-core AMD Phenom 2 or Intel i3 and i5, 2.4 gigahertz plus, which most people should have if you have a modern computer. Actually, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
4 gigs of RAM, GeForce 400 series, or Intel HD graphics even, 4000 series, and AMD Radeon 7000 Plus, which is good. They say very fast hard drive, or an SSD, so... Might be time for some people to upgrade to SSDs. And with that being said, if anyone is looking for an upgrade, I was just on the Newegg website today for some odd reason, and you can get a 512 gigabyte SSD for under $300 now.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, and they're very fast. So if you're looking for an upgrade, now is definitely the time to purchase an SSD. And these are, you know, not just any SSDs. They're the high-end Samsung SSDs, so...
Yeah, good, I got a 128 when I built my computer, but I should thinking about possibly upgrading it.
Well, soon. I mean, you really only need the operating system and your apps on it, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, I have 256 gig SSDs and they're more than enough. But all right. Anything else on NXT?
Nope. Not really.
Okay, well, I can also tell you guys this week that you can run a real-life Darklight sword.
Woo!
So basically, what you need to do is you need to send your RuneScape birthday party selfie. You can use your in-game character or your actual self. You send the picture in your party attire, and you can send it in on Twitter or Instagram using RuneScape at 15 and RS Party Selfie, or you can email them to competitions@jagex.com with the subject line 15th Birthday Selfie Competition, and this closes on Friday the 29th.
Interesting.
I don't know if I'd want a Darklight. I think I'd rather have a Godsword.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. Any of them look nice, to be honest. You think you're going to enter? Have you entered?
No, because I don't know where I would take such a selfie, and I have a huge opposition to selfies in real life.
Oh, you can do it in game. I'm not going to do it in real life. Heck no. I'm opposed to them as well, so I feel the same way. But, I mean, hey, if it can get me a nice replica RuneScape sword, of course.
Yeah, okay, what the hell, why not?
Oh, gosh.
All right, well, you can do that and find all the other information about the RuneScape stuff we just discussed, head on over to the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. First time saying that this year.
Woo! Do it.
All right, on to questions. You ready for some questions?
That I am, that I am.
All right. So the first question is from Ara. Hello. I have just recently returned to RuneScape after a lengthy hiatus due to real-life events, such as getting married and transferring to a four-year college. Congratulations. When I returned, I'd forgotten that I had logged in 421 days ago, or October 2014. I've been trying to catch up by listening to RSBNB Update, but it is a lengthy process. I'm hoping you can give me some information on key updates I may have missed, and should immediately research to get back into the flow of things. Keep up the great show from Ara.
Quests. Quests, all the quests.
Oh, yeah, definitely. 2015 was a huge year for questing. Probably some of the best quests that have ever been released in-game, I want to say.
Mm-hmm. Plague's End.
That was 2014.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But still, it counts.
Yeah, well, I think she missed, the second part of Pryptinus, which was released in November. So, yeah, she would have missed that.
Okay.
So that's a thing. That's nice. Some big quest updates. Dimension of Disaster.
200th quest.
Yeah, which is replayable. It's really fun. Honestly, it's one of my favorite quests, personally. Light Within. Was it a reasonably decent quest? Lord of Vampirium was a great quest.
That was good.
Yeah. So a lot of quests around. I mean, I can't think of too many others off the top of my head. But
Dishonor Among Thieves.
Mm-hmm. That was another.
That was a great one. Probably my favorite RS update of 2015. Believe it or not. So we are questing people. So quests are important to us. Yeah. But I think some of the other things that you have probably missed over the last year, if you're a combat person, is raids. RuneScape's 10-person combat, high-level combat, extraordinaire, smashing festival. I don't know how to say it, but it's basically a huge combat encounter for high-level players if you're high-level and enjoy combat. Let's see, what else did we have?
There have been... I mean, Rune Labs was a big update at the beginning of 2015, about a year ago.
Yeah, that drove half the updates of the year.
Yeah, I wouldn't say half. It ended up, basically it started out, Jagex wanted players to just suggest new cool ideas, and they would, based on criteria that they suggest, but that ended up changing, and now it's more sort of a Wild Wild West type thing. Well, actually, they've changed. It was the Wild Wild West at the end of last year, when basically it was anything goes and you can suggest whatever you want. And if you got 2,000 upvotes, then you got it. But now they're doing sort of a thing where we're designing an area for next year, or for this year, rather. The one that just won in the poll is we're going to be getting the Ark region of the Eastern Lands. If you haven't done ports, I would suggest that. It's part of ports expansion, and so if
that
you
also
go to the,
came out in 2015,
the ports expansion. Yeah.
Yeah,
and so that's a thing that's going to be happening later, but Rune Labs is on the main site if you want to look at that. It's kind of cool just to see what people are suggesting. It's not nearly what I think Jagex wanted it to be, and it realistically wasn't ever going to be that, but hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Three other largest things that you might have missed in 2015, the ability to have virtual leveling. So if you're training for a master skill cape to level 120, you can turn that on and you'll get progress updates along the way, and the skill area of the game will show what level you are in those skills. So you can turn that on in the settings. We also had the Tuska World event. Tuska was this huge beast meteoroid type thing, and the players had to contribute enough through the month of June to kill Tuska, and we were of course successful, so Tuska just crashed into the ocean and left an area there and didn't really destroy much of a landmass. As to whether or not that was the designed outcome from the end, we haven't got clarification on that, but I don't know. They say it was based on the players, but I don't think it was.
Yeah, got some tinfoil hat theories out there. But
oh, yeah. And there was also the ability to use Evolution of Combat with the old Legacy UI, or use Legacy Combat with the new RS3 interface, if you prefer the old interface, or if you prefer Legacy Combat.
Yeah. Falador was also reworked. It looks really, really nice now. It's been given a nice lick of paint.
It's going to look so much nicer on NXT. Yeah. Mm.
And also, you can't forget the community's favorite update, boss pets.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say the aquarium.
Oh, no. No. Well, I think that came out. And did it come out in 2015?
Yeah, Aquarium was April 2015.
Oh, wow. Gosh. Yeah, well, we'll skip right over that.
Actually, Raids was the most popular community update of 2015.
Really?
Yeah, it was. Second place was Boss Pets, though.
Okay, well, it's up there. People like them. They drop from your normal bosses. They show up on...
But they're rare.
Yeah, they're extremely rare. They're between 1 in 1,000 to, I think, 1 in 5,000, or 1 in 100 for some, like Harakin and stuff like that. But they're not easy to get. So
yeah, didn't I hear somewhere up of 10,000 for a KBD pet or QBD pet rather?
Really, I thought it was 5,000 for her, but I'm not so sure. I could be very wrong.
I mean, I'm sure all we have to do is ask Clan Quest, right?
Yeah, probably. A lot of people know that kind of stuff. So
yeah, but I got my ducks, and that's good.
Oh, and of course the Master Quest Cape, which just recently came out. If you're into quests, that's a cool thing. Go get it. It's awesome. It's fun. It's a good journey.
And it's not as grindy as a completionist cape.
No.
It was initially going to be, but you guys got it nerfed down.
Thank goodness. I would not have it, and I wouldn't even be close to having it, because I never would have gone for it had they stuck to the original.
Yeah, what'd they have, like 5,000 Chompy kills or something?
Yeah, something ridiculous. And Livid Farm, of course. Yeah. Those got removed, though, so thank goodness.
Okay. Thank you, Ara, for that question.
Our next question comes from Thomas. Do you think they should mix the concept of veteran capes and skill capes so that if you've had your 99 for 10 years, you get a special cape? For example, a 10-year runecrafting cape would be more impressive than a current level 120 cape. That's interesting. I never really thought of... I mean, it's like a fine wine. If you age that 99 long enough, it becomes even better, you know? Looking at a 10-year-old runecrafting cape, you know that you got it legit, right?
I mean, but that would be before the Abyss.
Yeah.
And before Runespan.
Wow, yeah. It would be interesting. I think it might be a little tough to implement from Jagex's side of things. I don't know.
Yeah, they don't know when you got the capes.
Yeah, because I know that that's always been a problem, because people have requested having the ability to get the untrimmed version of your first 99, but they're like, oh, we can't really do that. So I'm not so sure it would be a possibility, but it's nice in theory and in concept. I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, especially for skills out there, like runecrafting in particular, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Other ones that come to mind are agility, woodcutting before ivy, fishing, Fletching, Herblore, Crafting. And the reason I mentioned Fletching, Herblore, and Crafting is because before they added the Make X system, you would have to manually click every little vial, every little bow, every little chisel thing, whatever you want. So there was lots of RSI back in the day of 05, 06.
Yeah. The good old days, right?
Yeah. Maybe the bad old days, but you know that is where RuneScape got its charm. So
exactly.
Totally agree with this question here. And I mean, they can't do it, unfortunately. And, you know, maybe if JAX knew they were going to be running this game for that long, they would have tracked 99 since the very beginning. Or at least since Capes of Accomplishments. And when you think about it, how would you track when someone got a 99? Because let's say you had your numerous 99s after the Capes of Accomplishments, you would never have had an untrimmed cape.
Mm, that's true. And, I mean, Adventurer's Log wasn't a thing for quite a while, wasn't it?
That's right.
So
I want to say that came out in 08 or 09, maybe? Gosh. I don't know.
So it was while I was gone. Or interesting. Yeah. If that was a thing for the whole time that you got 99s, you could probably find out when what your first 99 was. But if you got a 99 before that, which I'm assuming is at least a good portion of people,
aha,
especially those who... Hmm?
I was right. October 2009.
Wow. Okay, so that's why I don't know. But yeah, so I don't... It's nice. It's a good concept.
All right. Well, that sounds good then. Thank you, Thomas. And the last question is from Trekkie. You've been recruited to Jagex's financial team. If you were to have more people buy Premier Gold, what would you include in the package to attract more players to buy?
A party hat and a million GP.
Well, I mean, you get the rainbow party hat from completing Dimension of Disaster X amount of times.
That's true, and people are crazy enough to do that. Get the
except it's upside down.
Yeah. Kind of ruins the attractiveness of it, in my opinion, which is why I haven't gone for it. But
and that's why they're all kind of joke party hats, right? But
yeah, and in like the 15-year party hat is a dunce cap. But,
the gnome child hat.
Yeah. I don't know what I would add. I mean, maybe some... I think that it would be nice if they gave us a legendary pet. I know that's asking for a lot, but didn't they do that the very first year?
The first year was rune coins.
Oh. It was probably about enough rune coins to buy a legendary pet.
And I mean, I don't think you even get a lump sum of loyalty points anymore, do you?
You get a lump sum, I think.
Okay.
I think
you got 150,000.
Yeah, which is reasonable. But
and I think normally you get around 28,000 a month if you're just a normal sub.
It fluctuates, doesn't it?
I don't know. I know it was 25,000 back in the day, but they... Okay, it depends based on how long you have been there. So
yeah, it's weird.
After, I don't know, it is weird. All right.
No one really understands the system. Yeah, anyhow.
But for me, I would include rune coins, probably enough rune coins to buy the legendary pet, however much that is. I'm not even sure, because you do make a good point there that everyone should try and pick up a legendary pet if you can. And there were some sales that we missed earlier this month in the Solomon store when we weren't covering things. But definitely, definitely. But in addition to the rune coins, you know, I don't know what it would be. Maybe, see, if you say you're going to include rune coins, you might as well just say, okay, use these rune coins to purchase something off Solomon's store.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's much you can put in these packages beyond what is already in the package to encourage people to purchase, because for members who are purchasing for the first time, this is a good deal. The only people it's not a good deal for are the longtime membership people, which, I mean, if you've been a member for this long, you're obviously wanting to support JAX. So if you want something that's in the pack, you might as well just buy it. It's a way of supporting JAX. But I don't know. I would have to say give... maybe all the old cosmetic outfits from previous years, but I'm just grasping at straws at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they load it up pretty sufficiently.
Yeah, because you can't give, you know, anything more than you give right now. Otherwise, then you get something happening where you have basically two tiers of membership. Like if you were to give beta access out or something like that, right?
Elite member.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, I don't know. I would just say add more rune coins to it, and you're going to go with a legendary pet then?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good choice.
All right. Well, thank you, Trekkie, for that question. All right. Well, you guys want to send questions in? You can do that the same way you always have. Email them to questions@rsbnb.com or leave us a voicemail at the Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632, or better remembered as 571-57-BNB. Or you can also leave us a text message at that number if that's what you prefer. Now, I should also say that when you send in a question for 2016, if you're a veteran player and you don't necessarily, you know, need to know how the best way of going around my farming runs is, or you don't need to know how to beat a certain boss, what you can do is you can send us in something to talk about. That is something we're expanding to this year, the question segment. It's not just your questions. It's also what you want to talk about in terms of RuneScape happening. So if there's something going on in your section of the RuneScape community that you think would prove interesting to talk about on update, send it to us at that same email address and we'll chat about it. Just include a link or tell us sufficiently enough about it and we'll gladly discuss that, because I know lots of you guys are involved in other communities, and I mean, we normally don't have an easy way of letting you guys contribute to the show, so I figure rather than just saying let's help you guys out with your questions, you guys can also help us out and share what you feel is important to you in the RuneScape community if there's something that is really interesting to you in your corner of this vast community that we have. So once again, just send it to questions@rsbnb.com.
Do it.
Indeed. All right, so first tech news story of 2015. You ready for this?
That I am.
Facebook has begun a Europe-wide campaign against extremist posts. Now, one might say extremist posts. Are they talking about terrorists here? No, they're not, actually.
No,
they're not. Basically, what extremist posts count as to Facebook and Germany is any kind of posts that are anti-immigrant, xenophobic, or racist. But we should be clear here that racism is not acceptable in the modern world. But going to a point where people cannot reliably express themselves on websites such as Facebook, I think that's crossing a line of censorship.
And, you know, one day I won't even be able to kindly insult my Australian and New Zealand friends, you know? And that's, I don't know, it's getting to a point where it's nice to keep out dangerous stuff, stuff that's really going to pose a threat to people's lives, but...
Or national security.
Yeah. But to start limiting people on their opinions, if I'm not going to state my opinions about the whole refugee situation or anything like that, but I think that everyone still has a right to have their own opinion and to be able to speak their mind in a public forum such as this. It's a little worrisome that they're starting to just silence people without thought, you know.
And I mean, like it says... xenophobic comments related to an influx of refugees. Okay, so that's specifically targeting one side of the issue here. But what about other kinds of things that come up? Let's say someone is threatening Jewish people, for example. Does that get looked at too here? Or are we just looking in one particular direction here in terms of Facebook? It seems like Facebook is taking orders from Germany in this case.
Yeah, and it's hard because... I mean, people have, again, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but people have a right to their opinions. And if people who are being punished for hate speech against refugees, if they're being punished, then what about those who are spitting vitriol to those who are just against the issue in general. I mean, if people are being hateful to those who are hateful, should we then silence them as well? It goes in a circle, and
exactly.
It's just so hard to
Once you make the first censorship, it's very easy to make the rest. And yes. I'm not saying it because I outright support what's being said by these people. I'm saying it because one day it could be you, one day it could be me. Mm-hmm. I think that is something going forward that the internet needs to take a very close look at, is realize that companies like Facebook, Twitter, and Google were all founded on the premise of an open internet, and you know, the internet is designed for free speech, effectively, right? Anonymous.
Yes.
But with Facebook not doing that, it is setting the wrong message. So,
and we're also in a world where patriotism, especially in the United States, is often seen as racism. And so when is it going to become the point that God Bless America and an American flag are going to be considered as xenophobic, and you know, you're not respecting other peoples in your post? I don't know, maybe that's going a little far. Maybe it's a slippery slope.
No, it's not.
I don't know.
It's not,
you tell me.
You're entirely right in what you said, that you should be able to say that if you want to. And I mean, there's a simple way of doing this. Just make a button that says hide post. Then you won't see this post from people going forward. Simple as that. Hide all their posts. Doesn't mean Facebook needs to... Oh, you can.
Yeah.
Okay. And doesn't mean they need to block them or ban them from the website, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't like what you see, there's an ability. There's a drop-down menu that you can click. Hide. You can hide the user. You can hide posts like this. You can hide the source of the post. It makes it a lot easier to live in your own bubble, as it were. If you don't like what you're hearing, then do something about it. You don't just silence people. I think it's a little bit dangerous.
And I mean, I think this comes from the top, specifically Mark Zuckerberg and CEO Sheryl Sandberg, because she was quoted the other day as saying, "Is the best way to combat Islamic extremism is with a like war, is in go to their Facebook pages of the terrorists and post positive things."
What?
That's what she said.
Okay,
that's what she said.
I didn't hear about that. That's kind of funny. Just shower them with love.
Exactly.
Them to death. Interesting.
Yeah, but I don't know. The point that we need to be making here is that one thing leads to another and to the next and so on and so forth, and we end up with a platform that's not open, and it defeats the total purpose of the internet. Anyways, moving on to the next piece of tech news here. Microsoft has announced that you're going to get a super-powered Surface Book or Surface Pro 4 starting today. And that means that you can get a 1 terabyte Core i7 Surface Book or Surface Pro 4. So that means 1 terabyte of storage with 8 gigabytes of RAM and a Core i7 processor. Oh, sorry, 16 gigs of RAM. So this is a very powerful computer that essentially says, okay, you have the iPad Pro here, and now you have the Surface here that, you know, you can edit videos and do all sorts of things on it. And, well, that's the line in the sand that Microsoft has drawn. Personally, I think this is overkill for most people, because the Surface Pro 4 will go for $2,700 US, while the Surface Book will go for $3,000 US. And, well, they've effectively out-Appled Apple with this release.
Except for the fact that, you know, the pen is reasonably priced.
Oh yeah, you get the pen with Surface. That you don't get the pencil with the iPad. But there's a gold one if you want to send some more money Microsoft's way.
That's what I mean. It's only $60. Not too bad. I'll take it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think if you are a Windows person and you don't like a tablet-specific operating system, the Surface is the best laptop to get.
Yeah.
But if you prefer iOS and a tablet-based solution, then the iPad Pro is probably better. But yeah, so just showing what Microsoft can do with its hardware. And I think it's going to be interesting to pay attention to, because back in the olden days when you'd have a MacBook Pro that was $1,700 and the other consumer laptops were $800, $900, people would always laugh at Apple and say, oh, look how expensive that is. You're paying for nothing. Well, Microsoft is playing that same game here now with a very high-end prosumer-based tablet slash laptop combination device.
So. Yeah, it is still a little too pricey for me. I mean, just like Macs are, and it's not like I'm going to buy it because I'm just not in the market for one.
But. Oh, yeah, and I mean, I think the regular Surfaces are of decent price. They're laptop price. This one is just so much because of the large amount of storage and whatnot. So it's not like you're going to, you know, be needing to spend too much going forward if you want just a standard Surface, so to speak.
Yeah.
Let me just get you some numbers here. So at the official Microsoft store, if you were wanting a Surface Pro 4 with a Core i5, because, you know, that's a basic chip and whatnot, 8 gigs of RAM, that would cost you $12.99. And if you go down to Core M and 4 gigs, that would be only $8.99. So it's very comparable with regular laptops.
Yep.
Decent regular laptops.
But. Yeah.
All right. And our last piece of tech news this week is that there is evidence, at least theoretical evidence, that Caltech researchers may have found evidence of a real ninth planet in our solar system. Everyone will know that Pluto used to be a planet, but it's not anymore. Well, they're saying that they may have found something out there, but of course it hasn't been observed yet. They've only noticed it based on orbits of other objects far out, and the way various objects in that region of space are distorted by the gravitational field out there. So the thinking is that, okay, so there must be something that far out there that is warping space-time in such a way to create this huge gravitational effect. And based on calculations and computer modeling, it effectively means that there is a planet out there that is very large and takes upwards of, 15,000 years to orbit the sun.
Yeah. Just a little bit of time.
Yeah, and I mean, if it's far away, that could be entirely the reason we haven't seen anything yet, because an orbit out there would be, I think it was something like 200 AUs, so 200 times the distance between the distance that we are from our sun.
Yeah, just a little ways out there.
Yeah, I'm trying to get an exact number on what the suspected orbital period at distances, but unfortunately the website is not loading right now. But you can find that in the show notes if you want more information on this and a conception of what the orbit would look like and other objects out in the Kuiper Belt. That's what that area of space is called, the Kuiper Belt. Lots of small, icy, rocky debris left over from the creation of the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, tech news, on to the Skill of the Month update. You want to take us through that?
Yeah, we've got kind of a Parnassius is dominating, let's just say that. Clear first place right now. We are 3 weeks into January, a little over that, of course, but Parnassius in first place, the skill being ranged, of course. Parnassius has gained basically 9.5 million XP this month in ranged, averaging around 450k a day, which is fairly reasonable. Metal Maniac 9 is in a fairly distant second with only 2,029,000 XP gained thus far this month. And Sorensen 57, a close third with 1.95 million XP gained this month. So it looks like we got a pretty clear winner, but there's a battle for for second place and even third place. I mean, Jake, 55111 is in fourth place with 1.64 million XP. So he could even feasibly overtake Sorensen and Metal Maniac by the end of the month. So who knows?
Yeah, and this is something I'd also like to talk about. Given Skill of the Month, we will be recalculating Skill of the Year, and that is the competition taking into account all experiences earned for the 2016 Skill of the Month competitions. So that this is not final yet, but if there's 11 people in a competition and you win that competition, which is looking like Parnassus is going to do, Parnassus will receive 11 points for winning that. So it won't be just based on the pure amount of XP that you get that determines if you win Skill of the Year, but it'll be based on how well you do based on the competition you face. So that's what we're going to be looking at going forward. So there is always a reason in this competition to try and beat the person ahead of you, as it can influence the amount of points you get at the end of the year. But stay tuned for more on that in the coming months.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, that's just, in general, the kind of things that we think about as the year starts up. But I'm just going to take a couple of moments now and expand on what we talked about in the opening about how we're going to be doing some things different this year with Informer and Update. Well, obviously the first thing that we mentioned earlier is four co-hosts this year for RSBNB Update, so that'll be interesting and provide us lots of variety. And essentially what we want to do for Update Informer this year is make RuneScape less one-dimensional. And that's what having that survey was all about. Because I knew everybody out there likes Slayer. Everyone stands in Priftiness. And people don't really go to events. So that's one thing that we are going to be focusing on with the podcast this year. Is how can we look at our listeners and the RS community in general and say, okay, so you guys like doing that, which is good. But we also want to show you why my favorite area of the game, farming, is so great, and show you why quests are so great. In your view, I'm expecting, Colton, that's your favorite part of the game. And basically every other update that comes out this year is show you why it benefits that part of the game so well. And in doing that, maybe we'll get people to come out of their comfort zone a bit and focus on other things aside from, you know, just Slayer and Priftiness and bossing and, you know, maybe expand some horizons a bit. And that is primarily what we want to do, and we're going to be doing with Update and Informer this year, is just showing off how this game is so deep and so rich that sometimes we forget about those various aspects of the game. So that is going to be our core objective for this year. And, you know, I think the release schedule for RS in 2016 leads really well on this, because, you know, each month we have a specific update coming out. This month was Invention, or rather, will be Invention. Mm-hmm. So we can, of course, focus on that. And then through the other times of the month, we can, of course, brief you on all the patch notes and the mini updates that come out. But also with that, we can use that time to showcase other aspects that might enhance that core area of the game that is being updated this month. So that is what you can look forward to in February. Also, on that track, we're going to be covering the updates a bit differently, in that each Monday or Tuesday after the update comes out, you can expect a micro update, a small podcast, anywhere between 3 and 8 minutes long, where we cover the bullet points of each update. We likely won't be going into opinion on that unless there's time or we absolutely need to offer opinion on it. But we'll also cover things like patch notes and how to take advantage of that update early in the week. It's essentially going to be a Cole's Notes version of the week's update that you can look forward to every week, delivered by way of YouTube.
Very cool.
Yeah, and of course, you know, this update, or rather the full podcast, will continue to come out Saturdays on iTunes, and we'll also have a video version coming out of that on YouTube as well, with, you know, the screen recordings and everything that you guys have come to expect over the last number of months once the upgraded audio stack gets here. Because the reason we had to stop that is just because it became too hard to sync up the audio and video using the software recording and whatnot. So waiting on some hardware for that. But that's in general, I think, the way we want to go for this year. You have anything to add? I know I kind of rejected that.
I mean, it's just exciting stuff going forward, and it'll be interesting to see how the community reacts. So be willing and, you know, let's just have some fun, you know?
Yeah, and exactly. And that's the point we need to remember going forward with RS. It's always about what you make of it and the community in general. So, yeah.
Yep.
All right. So, achievements of the week. These are going back to our last recording date, which was just before Christmas. So, we got some going back into December here. So, I'll start with the first few. Imperialis got 99 cooking on the 21st, also 99 fire making on the 17th, and 99 magic on the 13th.
Wow. Fast Wesley got 99 fletching on the 12th of January. Undoer got 99 divination on January 10th.
You got 99 smithing on the 8th.
Yeah, unfortunately. It happens.
I'll let you continue with the rest of them.
Gear. Yeah. Silver Wiz 9 got 99 Herblore on January 3rd. Fast Wesley also got 99 defense on January 2nd. And on December 29th, Undoer also got 99 agility. Man, some big ones there. Oof.
Yeah, very nice ones indeed.
Congratulations, all.
Indeed. And, of course, we'll be back to the regular cadence of achievements of the week next week. This was just a huge catch-up for everything that we missed while we were away. I hope I didn't miss anyone, but I think we got it all.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I guess it's fair that being back for the first episode of the year, I can open the show with the pick of the week.
Why not?
So... about a week and a half ago after Christmas and everything, turns out that the clicker on my mouse broke, like it physically broke in half. I don't think I clicked that hard, but the mouse was 3 years old, and it just broke. And, you know, initially I didn't think anything was wrong with it, but I started missing a few clicks every so often, and it got progressively worse. And it got to a point where I examined it, and it's like, oh, there's a little hairline fracture here. Then I was just clicking along the next day, and it split right in half.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a Razer Naga.
Yeah, I thought I remember you saying that. That's, man, at least it lasted, lasted a good while.
Yeah, 3 years, 12-button mouse. Don't need that many anymore, because that was mainly bought for... But for a different endeavor, that's not really happening anymore at this point. But, you know, as with things that disappear, you're kind of happy to see certain things go. And then when that goes away with it, then that's all the better. But I'm getting sidetracked. Anyways, I replaced it with a Logitech mouse, specifically the, quote, tunable gaming mouse, the G502. It's a mouse with, I think, seven... buttons on it. I'm not entirely sure on the exact number. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. 6, excluding, of course, the standard left and right click and middle click, so 9 in total. But it's a great mouse. It fits the hand well. I don't know how it would work for left-handed people. Are you left-handed or right-handed?
I am a righty.
Okay, me too. You know, that's one thing that is a problem, I think, in this day and age for some people is that they don't make mice for left-handed people, at least specialized mice. But anyways, you can tune it for sensitivity using the built-in software. You can also assign any of the buttons on it to do whatever you want, whether that be a sensitivity shift or activate a certain button in whichever game you're playing at the time, so that's good. Software actually is a lot better than the Razer software, which I was very happy with, to find that. It is also tunable weight-wise. You can add an extra 300 grams of weight to it if you like a heavier mouse. I personally prefer my peripherals to be light, so I didn't add any weight to it. But you can add the weights as a lump sum, or you can add them in specific areas. So if you like the front to be heavier, you can have a heavier front, and so on and so forth. So software tunable. And the third thing I really like about this mouse is that, much like a mechanical keyboard, it gives you the same kind of tactile feedback when you click, more so than a standard mouse would. So if you're looking for a mouse, a gaming mouse, I would recommend this mouse. And it is wired, and that was one of the core requirements of my search for the product, was that it had to be wired. So that's the Logitech G502 tunable gaming mouse.
Looks really nice.
Yeah. All right. And I'll just say one more thing, then I'll ask you what you've been doing. I know I've been talking a lot, but this week I wrote an Informer article called "The Threat of Social Censorship," of course, relating to everything we talked about with Facebook, and also how Twitter's getting involved, and how potentially Google could get involved in this, and why we all need to be very skeptical of motives of these companies, and why we should hope that they focus on providing services that live within the spirit of the internet.
It's an important thing to look at. Yeah.
Especially today.
Mm-hmm. It's becoming more and more evident that people are getting less and less careful about being open with their censorship, and people just need to be on guard for it, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I said this before the U.S. election happens in November. I can guarantee you that a certain candidate, maybe one or two, is going to have something censored online. So, by one of these companies. It's going to happen. I hope it doesn't happen, but I feel fairly certain that it will happen going forward. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
You can find that at informer.rsbnb.com.
Check it out.
So, what have you been up to?
Classes have started. I'm taking a lot of classes this semester, and several of them are like 5-week and 8-week courses, and all of them take place at the very beginning of the semester. So I have 24 hours a week of classes, plus of course all the coursework that gets added onto it. So it's been fun, I guess. Some enjoyable stuff, but it's mostly just been getting used to my schedule again, and just sort of easing into everything, you know.
Yeah, and I mean that comes with anything you do. It's like slipping on an old pair of shoes. I always found once you got back into it after the second week or so, it became all that again.
Oh yeah, it feels right. It's a lot right now, but you know, got to do what you got to do. So,
yep.
How about you?
Anything on RuneScape of interest?
I've been doing divination. I've just been doing Elder Divination and Elite Crew Scrolls. I've been like basically just saving up tons of... I have over 220K Elder Energy just for the heck of it. I don't know if it's going to be useful for invention. I don't know. It's the most expensive of all the energies, so even if it's not really useful for invention, I can sell it for a decent chunk of change. So it's one of my last skills left to train, and I'm training it really slow because I want to.
Yeah, so, yeah. I totally agree with you. And I should do that this weekend. I haven't gathered any energy yet. Is that bad?
I don't know. I don't even know if they've confirmed it'll use very much of it. I know it'll use some, but I don't know. We'll see.
All right. As for me on RS, over the past couple weeks, week really since I've been back, because I took a break from RS too, temple trekking. Temple trekking.
You having fun with it?
No. No. I decided I was going to do it so that I could just, you know, finish the Mauritania task set. Because I only have those two things left to do relating to temple trekking. Yeah. Use the games necklace to get to Berg de Rot and summon a ghast. I passed 400 total level last night, so got to hit 500 and 594. But, I don't know. It's not my favorite thing to do in game.
I don't blame you. It's a little bit of a grind toward the end.
Yeah, and I mean, the ones I'm having the most trouble with are the hard and medium ones, because the level, or the easy ones, just level up so easily. Just let them, you know, attack nail beasts or snakes or whatever, and that's good. You get 10 levels of time from doing that, so it's annoying. But aside from that, just farming herbs and focusing on, well, after invention comes out, getting 120 herb lore and 120 wood cutting. Oof. That's what's next on the radar.
Tall ask.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I figure do it as well as I can by farming my own herbs. Once again, the problem is still secondaries. I don't know. I do the kingdom weekly. There's an S from that, but it's not enough.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what else to do.
I don't know. I mean, thieving the Mailyer clan in Elf City yields a reasonable amount of mess.
Yeah, I think it's like 10 per cycle, but there's also the ones that give dragon scale dust, so I'll probably end up doing a combination of Ceridoan brews, anti-fires, and anything else I can get my hands on in terms of easy secondaries, but there's no rush on it, really. There really isn't, so...
Anytime.
But otherwise, other than that, I did say that there are some upgrades in the pipeline for the RSBMB update audio stack, so we should have that in place for next week's show.
Very exciting.
Yes. So I think with that being said, I'll just tell everyone to watch the Twitter at RSBMB early next week for our inaugural broadcast of our micro update, detailing how to take advantage of invention. We'll likely get that out on Monday or Tuesday, depending on how expansive we want to be, but we'll shoot for Monday. So that's at RSBMB on Twitter. Anything else you want to mention before we go?
Nope. Again, just hope you guys are not too disappointed with me being the one you're stuck with for a little while, and just glad to be on.
All right, and we'll see you guys next week for another episode, and thank you for sharing your time with us.
See you then.